Hello, Bob, Yvonne, Ken, Ruthie, Ted, and the rest of you navigators. Here's a little thing called a game of life, and I thought you people would really enjoy hearing. I want you to pay strict attention to the players, the tacklers, and who proceeds and gives the interference. I want you to listen real close and really catch the message behind this.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is station WORD, broadcasting from the great Stadium of Life. We have for you a play-by-play description of the greatest and most important of all gridiron classics, the Game of Life. Our game here will be underway in just a few moments. And while we await the opening whistle, we'd like to point out some interesting sidelights surrounding this momentous occasion. The weather is ideal in the stadium, even though it really makes little difference, since a game as important as this one must be played regardless of conditions. There's a tremendous crowd on hand today. The stands are literally packed with a great cloud of witnesses, as the writer of Hebrews points out. Down on the field, we can see that both teams are completing the pregame workouts. To our right are the players representing Christianity. And this Christian team, by the way, has the finest of all coaches. Noted for his unerring wisdom, this great mentor, Jesus Christ, is the model of perfection in the coaching realm. However, as we look down to our left, we see another great squad and a very cunning and clever coach. This is the team coached by Satan, the forces of evil. And believe you me, Satan and his men will be tough to handle. There's a great wave of anticipation and expectancy in the crowd as the two teams prepare for the opening kickoff. As you know, the referee for this game of life is God himself, the perfect, just, and all-seeing referee. And the rules of the game, the instructions as to how it should be played, are found in God's book, the Bible. The coaches have given their respective players their last-minute instructions, Jesus Christ telling his players, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Christ has now come off the field, and it's all up to the players whom he's just left with that last-minute challenge ringing in their ears. The outcome of this spectacle is all the more important to these alumni who are here because of the fact that the entire hope of Christianity in this, the game of life, depends upon the ball-carrying ability of average Christian. This places a heavy responsibility on average Christian, and that's the reason the eyes of the crowd will be upon him today. Both teams are lined up now for the opening kickoff. The goals of the two teams are exactly opposite, that of Christianity being the goal of heaven, while the forces of evil will head toward their goal, hell. And now it's going to be Satan's team kicking off to Christianity, and there's the referee's whistle as the game is underway. It's Criticism kicking a high end-over-end kick. It's taken on the goal line by average Christian. He starts up the field as forces of evil players move in on him. He appears a bit uncertain, but he gets across the 15. Now he cuts to his right and picks up some interference. It's Prayer and Humility. Average Christian is still going up the far sideline, past the 30 with Prayer and Humility out in front, clearing the way. There's one of Satan's men trying to crash through, and average Christian sidesteps beautifully at the 40, getting away from temptation. Now he runs with added confidence. He crosses the midfield stripe and makes his way toward this side of the field. But he left his interference on the other side. And now he's by himself down to the 45. He sidesteps nicely, getting away from hypocrisy, and goes to the 43, doing a nice job in the broken field. But there's a player coming up from behind. He's gaining. He dives and makes the tackle beautifully at the 40-yard line in forces of evil territory. Average Christian appeared confident that he was on his way to score, but temptation sneaked in for the tackle. And over on the far sidelines, we can see Satan pacing up and down the sidelines, getting reserves ready for action. Here's Christianity back to the line of scrimmage, and the ball is snapped this time to Average Christian, who drives off his own right tackle, finds a hole, and blasts through to the 32 before the big opposing lineman, Procrastination, brings him to the ground. The tackle who opened that hole for Average Christian was the very capable and important lineman, Church Attendance. He had a hole there big enough to drive the proverbial truck through, and Average Christian drove through nicely until hit hard by Procrastination in the opponent's secondary. Second down two now, as Christianity is out of the huddle once again. The forces of evil set up their defense, and here's the play. It's Average Christian trying the middle of the line. He stopped cold after a pickup of about a yard. It was carelessness on the tackle, as good intentions failed to open a hole in the line. In fact, good intentions was in the way himself on that one. Well, it's third down and a yard, and the Christianity team is calling for a timeout. Just what Christianity will do to stop Procrastination, Hypocrisy, Temptation, and the other forces of evil remains to be seen. We've noted in observing some of the onlookers that there are several famous and successful veterans of this big game in the stands today. They are famous alumni who are on hand to pull for men trying to follow in their footsteps. Among them are such notables as Moses, Gideon, Peter, Paul, and many, many others. It's time to go back to play now at the Stadium of Life. Christianity out of the huddle and up to the line of scrimmage. And here's the pass from center. Again, it goes to Average Christian. Average Christian is coming around his own left end, looking for a chance to cut downfield. Now he's getting some interference and makes his cut. It's Prayer out there again. And there's Faith throwing a beautiful block as he got to the 30. He's still going strong. Faithfulness comes in to add interference to the 25 as Average Christian, running nicely, cuts to his right, leaving his interference. He's to the 23 by himself, heading goalward. But a couple of tacklers are trying desperately to catch him from behind as he gets across the 20. He'll have to hurry, and he's hit and fumbles the ball at the 15-yard line. And the ball is recovered by forces of evil. And Average Christian, fans, is hurt on the play. He doesn't get up. Average Christian remains on the ground. This boy, Temptation, can certainly get in on plays when least expected. He and Little Sins just came from out of nowhere to bring about the downfall of Average Christian. And now the coach for Christianity, Jesus Christ, has come onto the field and is talking to his ball carrier, Average Christian. Let's take a look. And it looks like Average Christian is going to stay in the ball game. Let's pick up the band music on the far side of the field. Christian is going to stay in the ball game with the kindly help of Jesus Christ, his coach. Average Christian, with tears of humiliation and defeat in his eyes, has had the contact with Christ, which has given him reassurance and the realization of forgiveness of his past mistakes. As we go back to play at the Stadium of Life, it's going to be first down and 10 for Forces of Evil on their own 15. Forces of Evil now putting the ball in play, and it's Little Sins, the quarterback, giving it on a pitch out to Hatred, who starts around his own right end. And Jealousy leads the interference. He makes his cut upfield, and he's hit hard at the line of scrimmage. It was Love coming in to crash through the interference, knock Jealousy out of the way, and stop Hatred at the line of scrimmage for no gain whatsoever. Second and 10 now for Forces of Evil on their own 15-yard line. They come out in a single wing to the right this time with Luke Warm, the deep man. The ball is snapped to Luke Warm, who crashes off his own right tackle, finds a hole, rips across the 18 to the 20, where he's hit and swarmed under by Dedication. A pickup of 5 yards on the play, so it's going to be third down and an all-important 5 yards to go. This will be one of the big plays of the game. The ball on the 20-yard line in Forces of Evil territory. All right, it's Indifference and Selfishness back as the Forces of Evil quickly come to the line of scrimmage. Here's Selfishness giving the ball on a spinner to Indifference, who takes it on a reverse around his own left end. He gets to the line of scrimmage with Slanderous Talk leading the way. Across the 20 he goes. He's to the 21-yard line, the 22, the 23, and he's hit at the 24. And knocked down by Compassion, Kindness, and Willing Worker as they swarmed on top of him. Indifference was really wiped out on that play, a yard short of a first down. So it's fourth and one, and just what are the Forces of Evil players going to do on their own 24-yard line? They come out of the huddle in deep punt formation, with Criticism back to do his usual job of kicking. There's the snap back, and the kick is in the air, almost blocked by Good Intention. A beautiful spiraling kick which hits upfield across the 50-yard line and comes out of bounds on the 40-yard line in Christianity territory. Christianity will put the ball in play, first and 10 from their own 40. Now they're out of the huddle, and there's a man in motion to the left as the ball is snapped to Average Christian. He's trying his own left end again. Interference is forming for Average Christian as he cuts upfield at the line of scrimmage. It's Prayer again, along with Faithfulness and the powerful downfield blocker Witnessing. They're up to the 50 and down into Satan's territory to the 45. Average Christian appears to have recovered. He's running hard at the 40, still getting good blocking to the 35. The 30, running beautifully, and he stumbles and falls at the 25 with no one around. With Prayer, Faithfulness, and Witnessing leading the way, Average Christian just suddenly tripped and fell. and it apparently was average Christians' overconfidence which stopped a certain touchdown run for Christianity. However, it's still Christianity's ball, first and 10, on the Forces of Evil 25-yard line. Well, we've seen average Christian with his good and bad moments in this big game, but every time he and his teammates appear to be headed for a touchdown, the failure to follow such strong interference as prayer, humility, faith, and witnessing has been their downfall. Here's the play now. Average Christian starts around his own right end. He cuts quickly inside the end, fakes a handoff, and keeps the ball on a very nice play. He sidesteps one man, gets a good block from Faith. Now he seems to be surrounded in the secondary at the 20. He bounces off another and crashes to the 18. He's hit hard at the 15. He turns nicely in the opposite direction, but just a moment. Average Christian fans has suddenly turned and started in the wrong direction. He's headed toward the wrong goal line and running full speed, and the fans are going wild in the stands as teammates chase Average Christian. They call to him, and they're trying desperately to catch him. He's across the 50 and still going the wrong way. A member of the Christian team is gaining ground now at the 40, now the 35, and this is one of the most confusing plays ever seen. Average Christian is to the 30. He's at the 25, and he's finally caught and tackled from behind at the 20-yard line by one of his own teammates. And the teammate who finally came in to save the day for Christianity, let's check him, a substitute who had just been sent into the game, and that was chastisement. Average Christian got up angry and confused that chastisement tackled him. And now, as he looks around, Average Christian seems to be figuring out what happened. He looks to the sidelines and sees his coach. Realizing his nearly disastrous mistake, Average Christian sinks to his knees in sorrow and humiliation. There's a brief timeout on the field now as criticism came in to discuss something with the officials. Average Christian had gotten caught in the spin of life and turned in the wrong direction, but chastisement finally caught up with him and stopped him to save the day. It will be second down for Christianity from their own 20 with very little time left in this important game of life, and the situation looks dark for the Christianity team. It's second down and 65 yards to go. But just a second, the great coach, Jesus Christ of Christianity, is sending a substitute into the game. Let's check. He's coming onto the field. Yes, it's the real need for the Christian team right now, the real need, the Holy Spirit coming into the game. And the players seem to be invigorated by the presence of this powerful new player. And the forces of evil are bracing their defenses as we're ready to go back to action. There'll be time for just one more running play in this game as the Christian team goes into the huddle, and it's the Holy Spirit calling the signals. Nothing score as Christianity comes out of the huddle. All right, here's the play. The ball is snapped, and it goes to Average Christian. He circles his own right end. An interference forms in front of him. He makes his downfield cut at the 15. He's up to the 20, running behind prayer, love, Bible study, witnessing, faithfulness, and church attendance. They're headed down the far sideline to the 35, now the 40, and humility runs along, protecting from the rear as the great wave sweeps across the 50. They're to the 40, the 30, in the open with a clear field at the 20, the 10, the 5, and it's a touchdown, and the ball game is all over. And what a ball game it's been. After Average Christian had been up and down all afternoon in his ball-carrying chores for Christianity, the greatest of all coaches, Jesus Christ, sent in the Holy Spirit as the team's last hope. Then, Average Christian, with the Holy Spirit calling his signals, took the ball on his own 20, started around his own right end, and picked up a powerful force of interference composed of prayer, love, Bible study, witnessing, faithfulness, and church attendance, while humility was protecting from the rear. It was an unbeatable combination which swept from its own 20 into pay dirt without an opposing hand touching Average Christian. And now, as the band plays and the shadows creep across the gridiron of the Stadium of Life, we can see one of the most stirring sights we've ever seen. It's the wonderful coach of the Christianity team, Jesus Christ, with his arm of love around Average Christian and saying to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. now, this is station WORD saying, it was a pleasure to be with you in this broadcast of the Game of Life from the magnificent Stadium of Life, and reminding you that when the one great scorer comes to mark against your name, he cares not if you won or lost, but how you played the game.
You enjoyed that tape as much as I did. I made that recording, that Game of Life, in the chapel, and now I'm back at the barracks, and that accounts for the noises you could probably be hearing in the background as I make this recording. I realize it's been a long time since I've written or even made any mention of you people at all. And I'd like to let you know that I'm really sorry, but I'm guilty of that Forces of Evil player procrastination, I guess. And I plan to go out and help stop procrastinating now. And I'm really starting to get back into the groove here. I have never really been too far out, but I think the thing that I was really most guilty of is this procrastination. And I don't know if I remember told you about it or not, but there was one guy here in the barracks who was really giving me a hard time for a while there about my Bible reading and about my generally feelings about God. And one night, whenever he came in drunk, he yelled at me to preach to him. He says, preach to me, Oster. I, you know, ignore people when they're like that, so I walked away from him. And but I still kept praying for him. And just about 3 or 4 weeks ago, he came over to the chapel one night, and he was really feeling kind of low. Seems like he was starting to get in trouble with the girls downtown, and he was really feeling bad. And so, he came to the chapel that day, and after that he came and he asked me a few questions. I answered the questions in the best way I could, which is the Bible. And then I told him that I think that he should get a Bible himself and start to read it. And so he started reading the Bible. And I mean, he really did read it. He didn't just say like a chapter at a time, but I mean, he really read that Bible. He covered the four Gospels in about 2 or 3 weeks. That's how fast he was reading. And he read the entire book of Revelation in one day. I don't know what he got out of it, but he's at least really reading that word. And well, about 3 weeks ago now, or just a short time ago, I don't know how long ago it was, but he was at the chapel again, and as you can probably tell by how often I mention it, the chapel is a hangout away from the barracks for the Christians in the space. And he was asking me some more questions. And I pulled out that Steps to Peace with God. And I talked with him about it. And he was pretty interested in it. And I went through the booklet with him, explaining the verses, explaining how they mean to him, and tried to go through it in a personal way to him. But as is usually the case here, it wasn't me who did it. It was just the case this time I could see the guy come under conviction. I could see the man wanting to find out how to help himself. And all I did was show him how to do it. It was a long period of time. And he received Christ then. And now I'm starting to work with him, and he's really coming along real fine. The man is really growing. He's starting to talk to other people. And he's really getting me excited about the whole situation. This is one of my men that I've gotten here. This guy's name is Greg Lind. I'd like for you guys to pray for him. And
he's really coming along. Yeah, I think he's got the possibilities of being one of the best men that I have ever seen. He really has good possibilities. Another guy that came and talked to me just two short nights ago and asked me to help him was a chaplain's assistant. He says that he knows the Lord, and he's planning on being a minister, but he's got a few things that bother him. And so he asked me to help him, you know, and he says, well, what do you do? And I told him about scripture memory and about quiet time. And then I told him about the fellowship that I had with you people down there in Florida. And this got him excited, especially when I told him about Ted coming to visit me all the time and how excited I was when he came and how glad and how I jumped on him whenever he was about 5 minutes late once in a while. And so he would ask me, he says, well, can you work with me this way? And I said, yes, I'll be happy to. So this is my second man now. I have two men that I'm working with personally here on this base. And I know that both of these guys are fireballs, because I can tell by the way Greg is growing and by the way he is just not ashamed. I mean, he talks like he wishes people wouldn't joke with him about it, but Greg just doesn't care about what people think. Whenever he lays in bed reading his Bible, he knows that he's putting up his stand, and so that is what he's doing there. And that is really exciting. But that's the big thing that's happened since the last time. And today, I want you to know that I have made up my mind. I am going to the post office today. I want to make out a money order. This is one of the main reasons, I guess, why it is so easy to procrastinate here. It's not the reason I have been procrastinating, but it's the reason why it's easy to procrastinate. And that is that we are paid an MPC here in Korea. We don't get paid in greenbacks, and we don't get paid in negotiable checks. We don't have a bank on base where we could put our money into a checking account of any sort. We don't have anything like this. All we have is money payment certificates, or rather military payment certificates. And these are not good anywhere off base in Korea. And they are only good in Korea itself. So if I want to send money home, I have to go to the post office, and I have to get a money order, and then I have to send it off to you in a certified letter. And this is just the real reason, is because it's just too much, you know, so much trouble to go down and get one. It's not a very good reason, I must admit. But this is part of the reason why I've been procrastinating. And let me tell you, it can really get you down, because when you think about it, you know how wrong you are, but you still don't do anything about it. And, well, that's going to change now. The reason that it makes it so easy to procrastinate is that there is no transportation available on this base, and the only way you have to go anywhere is to work. And the post office is to walk, rather, not to work. The post office is out of the way, and of the way to work. And so you really don't have much of a chance to get to the post office. You have to walk everywhere you go. And right now in the winter months, everything is either real cold around here, or it's in a constant state of mud. Since this is a new base, there is no sidewalks. There is nothing but dirt roads, and these dirt roads turn into solid seas of mud as soon as the temperature gets above freezing, or as soon as it rains. And, well, I don't like to slop through the mud too much, and so this is one of the reasons why I don't go. In fact, I received a Christmas present from this one place where I teach English on Saturday for my mother, I've been putting off sending that home tour for the same reason. I just don't feel like walking to the post office. But today, that's going home to Mother. And you people are going to get something in the mail. If you haven't gotten it already, you're going to get it soon. And I just hope that you'll find it to forgive me and to realize that I am sorry for having put this off for so long, because I know that we can never outgive the Lord. And when we even stop to think that we can outgive the Lord, we are just all wet. And I really ask your indulgence in this area. How are things coming on out there at the base, Ken? Just curious to know how things are really coming along. This guy that I led to the Lord right before I left there, I think it was a Wednesday or a Thursday before I left, Vince Quintana, I wonder, did he ever really come along, or did he just sort of fall by the wayside? Ted wrote me in a letter that he really wants to go, but he can't get around to his work. But still, that's no excuse, because if he really wanted to go, you know, the Air Force has to let him off to go. But I'm just curious to find out what happened. And Ted keeps on talking about a guy named Jerry King. I'm curious to know if this guy is in food services, and if he's a short guy, and if he's a blonde, and if he's from around New York. Because if all this is true, then it's someone that I was witnessing to ever since that you people led me to the Lord. I've been witnessing to this guy in my barracks area there. Have you gotten anybody from my barracks to take over as my portion of the goal for one man in each barracks on the base? I'm just really curious to find out about all these things. You tell me that you're doing fine and doing good, but I just would like to know, you know, a little more of the details. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, I do teach English. I used to teach it on Saturday, but now, instead of Saturday, I have to teach it on Sunday afternoons. This is real good because I teach both Christians and non-Christians in this class. And even though they are Koreans, they understand English very well. And we have two textbooks. One of them is a regular school-type textbook, and the other one is the Bible. And as I go along and I explain, I give them some thoughts that I have about it, and sometimes some students really look interested. The class and age is run from around 14 to sometimes up as high as 30, and you can really get some interested looks out of the people. Anyway, the important thing is that some of these non-Christians are getting some of the word through this class, and this is why this class is a very important class. Also, I go to the orphanages here, like I have mentioned before, I'm sure, and I enjoy this very much. On Christmas Day here, they had what they call a daddy for a day, just like we did on Thanksgiving. And what this is, the orphanage brings some children on base. They sit in the church. And most of the men who go to the orphanage regular have some children that they go to see there all the time. And my child, or my girl, she's 10 years old, was at the Thanksgiving Daddy for a Day program, and so I didn't have anyone at Christmas. But I wanted to have a daddy, or a child, for at least that day. And so I went there and I applied for the Daddy for the Day program, and there was this other child there, a 12-year-old girl, and she was the saddest looking thing. You know that she was just in need of love, just by the way she looked. And so whenever it came time to separate into couples of a child, an American, and child, an American, when it came my turn, she was still not picked, because it seems like the chaplain, he'd go through and he'd say, ask the Americans if you got any special child you want. And then if they did, then they'd pick the child. But no one had picked her yet. And there was only a few left. I was near to the end. And she was looking sadder as you went along because she was really wanting to have some love. I really do think so. So when it came my turn, I just said, I want that girl over there. And so she came over to me, and I tell you, I've never seen any girl so responsive to love as this girl here is. And it really is sad to think about these orphans having to go through life without the experience of a loving parent around them all the time, and they have to have such a cold and personal orphanage. They have a wonderful orphanage lady, but it still has to be cold and impersonal to them sometimes because they really can't go there with their deep problems. And when you see some of them hurt, they're just like little grown-ups, actually, because they don't cry loud and they don't talk loud. But, boy, they laugh when they get a chance. And this is good. I'm still coming along on my Bible reading, and I had slipped in my scripture memory a little bit, but I'm back in there again. I'm still coming along with my scripture memory. It seemed like I was just getting too much scripture memory in there to review it effectively, so I had to devote a little while to review, and now I'm back in memorization again. And I'm coming along. I'm finishing up Ezekiel now in the Old Testament, and I have finished just about all the Bible now for the first time since I become a Christian, and for that matter, for the first time ever. I came in contact with some of the navigators from up around Skoal about 2 months ago. Don't know if I wrote you about that or not, but they were down here and they gave me a Bible reading chart to show me how to read the Bible in a way that I could get it done in all 1 year. And so I'm going to follow this as soon as I've completely finished the book for the first time. Well, that's about all that I have to say right now. You can keep this tape. And that Game of Life, I hope you really enjoyed it, because I really got excited about that thing the first time I had it. And I want you to know that the Lord is really working here on this place. He's really working just the fact that He took a turn to somebody who was ridiculing me into someone who is now really backing me stronger than anyone. And it just really does something to you inside to think about it. And so, all I have to say is praise the Lord. And God bless you all. Be with you. And keep working. And write me whenever you can. So long for now. This is your fellow navigator, Dennis, signing off.